Chalashing for Chalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SM Fresen Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the SM Fresen Show and I'm Adrian Bugatti. So today I've thought about what we're going to do. Summer hasn't even started and we've already hit our first heat wave. So it's going to be a long, beautiful summer. For those of you who prefer the cold weather, I'm so sorry. I'm rather happy. But with the summer comes the need for still having to feed your family, but nobody really wants to spend time in the kitchen. It's just too hot. Friday night, during the week, whichever it is, the thought of having these heavy cooked meals, just too much, but you still need to feed up your family. You need to fill them up. And so I went searching. I went searching for summer recipes. Now, my household are huge, huge soup fans. Absolutely love soup. It's their best thing ever. So that was where I started. I started with soup recipes. So I found an old curried apple soup recipe that I tried. It was okay. It wasn't great. It was in the, I think, international cookbook. It's made with green apples with, I used olive, so cream and onion. So take your green apples, your Granny Smiths. You're going to peel them, cut them up. You slice up an onion, a medium-sized onion. And you just simmer that in a very little bit of water, enough to make the onions soft and the apples soft enough that you can blend them when you need to. You add, then in a separate bowl, you mix up maizena, a tablespoon of maizena, a tablespoon of curry. And once again, with curry, use whichever curry you prefer. We like a fairly strong one, but I do have two people who don't like strong curry, so I use the medium. And then you mix that with a little bit of water to make it into a paste and slowly stir that into your apple and onion mixture that has been simmering. Then you're going to slowly heat up your cream or your olie whip, whichever one you're using, because adding the cold liquid into the hot is going to cause it to curdle and you really don't want that. So once you've done that, stir that in and then blend it all together. It actually made a huge frothy soup because of the cream, obviously, and then you're going to serve it that way. That's the best idea for it in the meantime. Once everything's nicely mixed together, blend it up or pass it through a sieve to make it really, really smooth. This soup was actually, it wasn't bad. I used Granny Smith. I didn't use the Granny Smith apples. I had Golden Delicious that was starting to go a little wrinkly, so I wanted to use those up. The soup's obviously going to be much, much better with the Granny Smith because you need that sour apple to go with your curry. But the soup was actually nice. We heated it up on Sunday night when we had no electricity. Thankfully, I have a gas stove. And it was actually delicious hot as well. The next soup I found, I haven't made. It sounds incredible. It sounds out of my budget because, you know, the soups, when you find soups and when you find recipes on the internet, they're always for four people. And when I'm feeding eight, I have to take into account making it for four people. You can do making it for eight people puts it in the very expensive range. But it is a Spanish soup called an almond salmonero. Almond salmorejo. Okay, soup. It sounds phenomenal. They want 100 grams of blanched almonds, which you're going to toast. 600 grams of ripe tomato. 100 grams of good quality white bread with the crust removed and torn into chunks. One garlic clove chopped, 150 ml of extra virgin olive oil, plus a bit extra to serve. Now, as the olive oil has that nice peppery flavoring to it, so I would probably, if you're going to substitute it with ordinary oil, just add in the extra pepper yourself. Otherwise, a nice thing to do might also be, because it wants sherry vinegar, which you can use if you don't have that, you can use lemon juice or, you know, just plain vinegar. But you can use, I've seen, I think the olive oil with lemon in it would also be a beautiful flavoring. Okay, 300 mils of iced water, 2 tablespoons of sherry vinegar, 3 medium eggs, and then they've asked for 100 grams of jamón ibérico. Sorry if I'm saying this wrong, which is actually a cured ham. So I had a look. You can actually use cured beef instead. Now, to get the butcher to cure the slices of beef for us is going to be expensive. So I thought if you're not going to cure it yourself, which can be done in the oven, it's not a slow, not a quick process, but it can be done and it's delicious, is to get very, very thinly sliced biltong. Can be used instead and it'll taste amazing. And then chopped flat leaf parsley or Italian parsley to serve. And it's all going into the blender. So it's very quick, very simple. The only cooking would be to toast your almonds until they're lightly golden brown. But if you can buy them, you know, the blanched almonds already toasted, you've won. Cut the top of the tomatoes, just score across them because you don't want to burst them. You want to be able to peel them. So you're going to take your tomatoes, you're going to put them into boiling water, just enough to cover. You leave it for a couple of minutes and then you pour out the hot water. You put in some cold water and the skins should just peel off as you come. You can chop them roughly or stick them in your blender already. You're going to blend your almonds until they're like a finely ground powder. You're going to add your clove of garlic and just pulse that. Then you've soaked your bread in the water. Okay, so that's what you want to do. The bread needs to go into the water. You're going to then take the bread and you're going to squeeze out as much water as you can. And you're going to put the bread into the food processor and you're going to mix this together till it's almost like a smooth pate type thing. Then you add your chopped tomatoes and once again, you're going to blend this until you've got this nice creamy looking soup. You're going to salt and pepper it, obviously with the motor still running, and very slowly you're going to pour in your olive oil first or any oil. Then you're going to pour in your ice water and then you're going to put the tablespoons of sherry vinegar. Once you've blended that all beautifully together, taste it, adjust your seasoning as you want. You can put more water in if you want it slightly thinner, however you want. Keep the meat covered until you're ready for it. And then just before you're going to serve, you're going to boil your eggs in water for about 7 minutes. You're going to peel them, roughly chop them, and then so you've got this hot egg chopped up on top of a cold soup, and you just add the biltong onto the soup to serve as a garnish. So that's why I know it says 100 grams is not a lot, and it's the almond that cost. So it sounds like an amazing soup, and I definitely have a plan to try it at some stage. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I've got some more delicious recipes to give us a try.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti of Cushering Your Life, and we're talking summer foods. So I'm talking about summer soups. My family absolutely loves soup. So here's another soup that I like making, usually on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. It's light. You know, nobody's really hungry, because they've been doing other stuff. And it just means I don't have to spend 100 hours in the kitchen on my one day to relax. So I love this soup. It's just simple. I almost always have the ingredients in my fridge, in my cupboard, in my pantry to make. So it's very easy. So 1 tablespoon of oil. Oh, forgot to tell you what we're making. Sweet corn chowder. Love sweet corn chowder. This is a very simplified one. I do have a more complicated one that I found in the Pick and Pay magazine about 2 years ago, which uses like canned corn and fresh corn and all sorts of things. But this one I found more recently, and it was delicious and easy to make. So a tablespoon of sunflower oil, 1 onion chopped. You don't have to do fancy. It can be rough because you're going to blend it up afterwards. 1 red pepper finely sliced. 1 stick of celery chopped up. 1/4 teaspoon of chili flakes. If you like it spicy, you can, you know, do a little bit more. But if you don't like it spicy, then just a pinch of chili flakes. It just gives it a little extra kick. The chili flakes is not really a big flavor in it. It just gives it taste. 300 grams of frozen sweet corn. 800 mils of vegetable stock. And then they've asked, the original recipe asked for coconut milk. I am not a fan of coconut at all. And even though everyone keeps telling me you can't really taste the coconut when using coconut milk, I still try and avoid it wherever possible. So we're going to use 400 mils of soy milk. You can, if you want to make a milkic recipe, you can then just use ordinary milk. You can use almond milk. You can use oat milk if you'd like. And then smoked paprika, the Spanish smoked paprika or plain paprika, whichever one you have. A rounded teaspoon. So it's a little more than 5 mils of the paprika and 2 spring onions cut sort of diagonally to garnish with some coriander leaves and a bit of lime. For those of you who don't like coriander because you think it tastes like soap, please note that the taste of coriander is actually genetic. Being able to eat it or not depends on the person. It is part of, because to me, when somebody says coriander tastes like soap, I cannot taste it. I love the taste of coriander and I use it a lot in my cooking. So in a large pot with the lid, put some oil over medium heat, add your onion, your red pepper, your celery and your chili flakes. And you're going to cook those until they're slightly soft. Depending on whether you're using a normal stove or a gas hob, can take 2 to 3 minutes, maybe slightly longer. Once the onion is softened, you're going to add your sweet corn, you're going to add your vegetable stock and your milk, and then you're going to turn it on high. And you're going to stir in your smoked paprika now, and then cover it with a lid, but not all the way. You want, obviously, some of the steam to escape. Once you've put your corn, your stock, your milk in, you're going to cook for 10 minutes. Like I said, only partially cover it, and then every now and again give it a stir. Once it's done, and it literally takes 10 minutes, you're going to adjust your seasoning with some salt. And you're going to take a ladle spoon of, take half of the soup. Put it in a blender and blitz until it's smooth. And then you put the smooth one back in with the one that you haven't blended. And you stir that nicely because you want the thick soup, but you want some of the corn as well. So that's an important thing. And then you serve it hot. You just put your spring onion and your coriander and a lemon wedge or lime wedge on top. And it's a delicious, it's a filling soup. And, I mean, the kids like mealies, so we're good with that too. Now, the biggest hit for summer in my house, the biggest soup hit, should I say, is gazpacho. I could make 5 liters and they'd still finish it. It's pretty much everybody's favorite. So my recipe is 2 cucumbers. I don't peel them. I don't seed them. I just chop up my cucumbers. I take a red pepper and a yellow pepper. I cut those up. Obviously, you're going to take out the seeds. And then I take a can of tomato and onion mix, some lemon juice, 2 cloves of garlic, paprika. Once again, the spices depend on how strong you like it, whether you like a spicy soup or you just like a cold vegetable soup. Some salt and pepper to taste, and then some ice water to make it the consistency you want it to be. So I blend everything together except the water. Blend that together. It'll get quite a thick, like a sludgy sort of type of thing. It's not a soup. Then I slowly stir in my water to get it to the consistency I want and taste along the way. I often add Tabasco sauce to it just to give it a nice little push. And like I said, my house, that is pretty much everybody's favorite. There's another soup that I've made, a gazpacho, called a tomato gazpacho. That's also really, really delicious. The recipe I'm going to give you is for 4 servings. So it's 800 grams of ripe tomatoes chopped, 1/2 cucumber, you know, roughly chopped. And then that, for garnish, you just chop up a few pieces of cucumber to sprinkle on the top. 2 red peppers, obviously de-seeded and also chopped up roughly. 2 cloves of garlic. Then about 50 to 60 grams of old bread. Like you leave it out for a little so it dries. So you want crusty white bread. So what I often do is I would get myself a bit of a ciabatta roll, or if you have sourdough bread, that would be great as well. A glug of dry sherry if you have. If you don't want to use sherry or you don't have, you can use a nice strong cider. And then they want a tablespoon of sherry vinegar. If you don't have that, substitute it with lemon juice. And they say a glug of virgin olive oil. Now, a glug usually means to me between 15 and 30 moles, so 1 to 2 tablespoons. The olive oil, you want a little bit also to drizzle over to make it look pretty on your plate when you're serving. A handful of fresh basil leaves, some sliced cherry tomatoes, and if you like, you can do some capers on top as well. They make a good garnish, and those capers add a nice flavor to the soup. So some of my family will have it with the capers, most will not. Another delicious soup that I love is the carrot soups. Now we have 2 soups and there's so many out there so that I'm not going to give you a recipe, but the one is a carrot and ginger and the other one is carrot and apple. They're both nice fresh soups served hot. You'll find that the carrot and ginger soup, almost all of them ask for yogurt, but if you need to make it parve, I use mayonnaise instead of yogurt. And for the truth is that some of the soups, the yogurt is a fixed ingredient in the soup, and for the others, it's just a garnish. So it's up to you to find the soup that you want to make that you like. Another one as well, peas are a big favorite in my house. So a chilled pea soup, big, big in my house, chilled pea soup, or any pea soup, actually. So a hot pea soup as well. And then what I do with that is if I make a pea soup, I take the frozen peas, I put a little bit of mint in, dried mint, and I put in some chicken stock. You blend, you cook it up, blitz it to make a nice soup, and then I will chop in either Viennas or Frankfurters or chicken sausage or the vegetarian sausages, whichever, and it makes a nice meal as well.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
The chilled pea soup, some olive oil for frying and a little bit extra for drizzling, a bunch of spring onions nicely chopped, a clove of garlic crushed, 300 grams of the petit pois, the tiny little peas. You can use the bigger ones, but the flavor is slightly different. They want 750 mils of good quality vegetable or chicken stock. To me, that usually means homemade chicken stock or homemade vegetable stock, but otherwise your stock powder works fine. A large handful of basil and a bag. You want 60 grams of mixed greens or salad greens. So watercress, rocket, and spinach leaves make up a nice one. And then they've asked for 150 mils of yogurt. And as I've said before, I use mayonnaise instead of yogurt when I need to. So you're going to heat some oil in a large frying pan or pot, should I say, over a medium heat. Remember, with olive oil, it's got a low burning point. So what you want to do is you want to heat your pan up first, then put your olive oil in. Keeping it over a medium heat, you don't want it too hot, otherwise it cooks up too quickly. You're going to add your spring onions and you cook them for about 8 minutes. And then you're going to add your garlic and cook for another 2 minutes. Stir in your peas, pour in your, so that they're nicely coated with the garlic and the oil and the onion. And then pour over your stock, using hot water. So they want hot stock. So boil your kettle or bring your homemade stock up to boil beforehand. Add that into your pea mixture with some salt and pepper and simmer it for 5 minutes. Now while it's simmering, you're going to chop up your basil leaves and most of your salad leaves. And once the soup has been simmering for about 5 minutes, add all the chopped greens together. Put them into the pot and simmer in for another 2 minutes. Take it off the heat, blend it, whether you put it in with a stick blender or in a proper blender, until it's smooth, and then stir in the yogurt, most of it, and into the fridge for about 4 hours. Once it's, you know, cold, divide it, season it, or let your guests season it. Put a little bit of the yogurt or the mayonnaise on top with the basil and the greens that you didn't chop up and drizzle it with oil, and you will have a delicious summer soup. Now, we've looked at soups, and now I'm looking at some sides. You know, it's all very well. We make our regular chicken and we make our regular meat, but we've all gotten used to the same sides, rice, butternut, baby marrows, patty pans, green beans. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of getting a bit tired of those. So I found some nice ones. One of them is cherry tomato skewers. So you put about 4 or 5 cherry tomatoes on a skewer. It's better to use the cherry tomatoes. They are slightly bigger. You can get the smaller tomatoes, then just put a bit more on. And you just brush them with oil and some salt and pepper and put them under the grill in your stove, in your oven, or if you've got a grill, or you can put them on the braai, whichever you want, just to give that slightly char. Just as the skins are starting to break, then it's ready. Take it off, and they can actually be served hot or cold as a beautiful side accompaniment to anything, whether you're having meat or fish. It's delicious. Then we all know romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce is the one we usually suffer our way through over Pesach, but I found a way to make it taste not too bad, and that is grilled romaine lettuce. So you take your romaine, you cut them in half, and you're going to brush it with olive oil, and then you put it. I've got the gas stove, so I must admit I do it directly over the flame. I put a cooling grid over it, and then I just char my romaine lettuce over that. You don't want to burn it. You want it just slightly charred, and when the lettuce starts to wilt, and it makes a really nice smoky, peppery accompaniment to your food. The baby bell peppers that I've seen all over, the little colored ones, the orange, the red, the yellow, all of those together, you quarter those, obviously seed them, toss them in some olive oil with salt and pepper. Put them under the grill in your oven for 3 to 4 minutes on a medium heat. So you don't want them on the highest, because otherwise they're going to burn you want it on a medium heat, 3 to 4 minutes, and just keep turning them. It usually takes about 5-10 minutes, and they're delicious. They've got a little bit of bite left, but they've got that nice grill. Another one, and this is something I'm definitely doing because last night I bought tons of mushrooms because Pick and Pay were taking them off their shelves. They were 10 rand a packet. So I've got quite a lot of mushrooms. So this is an idea for me, and I'm going to do this tonight for supper. You take your mushrooms, toss them with some oil and some salt and pepper, and then you put them under a medium grill for 5 to 10 minutes, and they're cooked. Nothing could be simpler. Okay, and it, for those who are vegetarian, it gives that nice meaty flavor. You know, mushrooms make a good meat flavor without having the meat. And very popular at the moment and in season, so not expensive at all, is eggplant. Eggplant, I've discovered that people either like them or hate them. In my house, they're indifferent. So it depends on how I cook them. Sometimes they'll eat them and sometimes they won't. Brilliant way to do it. You slice your eggplant about a centimeter slices. You do not have to salt them at all. You're going to, once again, sprinkle with salt and pepper and some oil, and you put them under the grill 3 to 4 minutes on each side, and they make a delicious accompaniment as well. Another thing to look at is some nice, easy chicken salad, chicken lunch meals, you know, that you can serve for Shabbos lunch or that you can serve on a really, really hot day that's going to fill up. And it uses a piece of chicken that most of us actually don't use in our home, and that is the chicken wings. So when we come back, I will give you the chicken wing recipe. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Essen Freshen Show. I'm Adrian Bogarty.
You're listening to the Essen Freshen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Essen Freshen Show with Adrian Bogarty this Tuesday morning. And I'm talking summer recipes. So, as I was saying, a little used part of the chicken is the chicken wings. And this makes a lovely finger snack, whether you do it as a starter or as part of your Shabbos lunch or just even an afternoon lunch or part of a light meal is your chicken wing. And it's a little take on our old-fashioned 1960s apricot chicken. So we want 3/4 cup of apricot jam. We want 3 tablespoons of bourbon. Okay. So if you're wondering what bourbon, Jack Daniels is it? Well, it's the one I've used. 2 tablespoons of fresh lime juice. You can't always find lime juice, so I use limes when I can find them. And I squeeze them and put them in a bottle, but limes are available at the moment. Okay. 2 tablespoons of low sodium soy sauce. It's a staple in my house. So that's why I said I've always got the ingredients for this. And then a tablespoon of sriracha. Now this is optional. We like spicy, so the sriracha gets added. You can also use 1/4 tablespoon. You can use 1 teaspoon. Just to give it some flavor or just leave it off. And then chicken wings. As many chicken wings as you want. So however many people. And then some chopped spring onion or cilantro, coriander, if you want to garnish, if you're serving it at a special meal. So that's it. In a large bowl, you're going to mix together your apricot jam, your bourbon, so your Jack Daniels, your lime juice, your soy sauce, and if you're using the sriracha, you're going to mix that all together, and you're going to, you know, make it smooth, nice, as a gravy almost. You're then going to take the chicken wings, and you're going to toss them in a bowl with the sauce, cover it, and stick it in the fridge for about 4 hours. You want it to marinate in that, and then you're going to grill it on low. I must admit, I prefer doing this on the braai, but I have done it in my oven under the grill. You just have to remember to turn it. I also have like a cast iron griddle that fits over my stove. And that's a nice way to do it if you've got to do it inside. Keep cooking. It takes about 15 minutes each side until it's cooked. Do them in small batches if you need to, and on a platter, and you've got a nice looking and delicious tasting chicken to serve at supper. Then there's another one. It's plum season. So chicken and plum salad takes you about 20 minutes in total. You're going to use, this recipe was for four, and it asks for chicken breasts, boneless chicken breasts. I have to admit, I don't do that. Not everybody in my family eats white meat, so I just use whatever chicken pieces there are. I'll take a braai pack and use that instead. 2 tablespoons of olive oil plus another extra on the side as part of your salad dressing. 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. And then 4 plums cut into like wedges, not thick wedges. You want them to be about 2 centimeters so that they fit nicely. The red plums do taste better. I have made it with yellow, wasn't as nice. And I have made it with a combination of both, and that I liked a lot. 2 spring onions and then arugula. Arugula is a rocket. You just get some, if you can find baby one, that's great. It's not often available and it's very hard to check, but otherwise normal one, I just break it up into pieces. They want 1/2 cup of fresh dill. I use dried dill only, and you use, so if it asks for 5 mils of fresh, you're going to use 1 mil of dried. So you're going to cut that down, and then 1/4 cup of roasted almonds, nicely chopped, to give it some crunch. You're going to heat your oven or your grill. You're going to rub the chicken with some olive oil and season it with salt and pepper. Then in a large bowl, you're going to toss your plums with the extra tablespoon of oil and some salt and pepper. And you're going to grill your chicken until it's cooked through. If you're doing it on the braai, if you're doing chicken breasts, it's 5 to 7 minutes. It's very quick. If you're doing chicken pieces, you need to just watch and see how long it takes. It shouldn't be more than about 15 minutes. Transfer your chicken to the cutting board. Once again, this is if you're using chicken breasts because you want to slice them. But allow your chicken to rest for at least 5 minutes before you take it off the bone. You want it not cold, but you don't want it hot. You're going to add your plums onto the grill now, and you're going to char those, and you're going to toss them in a bowl. Now, for the people who don't have a grill, which is a, sort of like your braai or a griddle pan or something like that, you can do this in the oven, but you've got to watch it very carefully. If you put it under the grill in the oven, you need to keep checking it, because the grill in the oven goes from raw to burnt in seconds. So watch it very carefully, but it can do it, and you can get that nice flavor. You're going to then take your plums out of the heat, and you're going to toss them inside with some another bit of oil and your spring onions, and then you're going to add your chicken and any of the juices that have sort of sunk into the bottom while you were resting your chicken. You're going to pour that all over. You're going to then put in your rocket, your dill, and your almonds. You're going to mix that together and serve. And it's absolutely a stunning salad to have for lunch. And the last one I'm looking at is another one for the kids, is chicken drumsticks. Great. So you can buy pesto or you can make it yourself. It's 1/2 cup of pesto. It's about 1 kilo of chicken drumsticks. I must admit, I don't go by weight. I go 2 drumsticks per person, and that's that. You're going to dry your chicken with some paper towel. You're going to put it in a very large Ziploc bag. You're going to add your pesto and you're going to shake it so that all the chicken pieces are coated and put it in the fridge for an hour overnight. Now, this is one of my make-ahead meals. And once again, I don't only use drumsticks. I'll often use the entire chicken. And I'll do it on Sunday in the pesto, and we will have it on Wednesday night for supper. Please don't do it longer than that. Chicken can, you know, you don't want to, if there's air in the bag, the chicken will go off a little bit too quickly. If you can vacuum seal it in the pesto, you could then keep it for, if you do it on Monday, it's ready for Friday. Remove your chicken from the bag and shake off the excess pesto. Season with salt and pepper and put it, once again, this is a grill, but you can put it in your oven. I bake it in the oven until it's cooked. It's about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how much chicken and what chicken pieces you're using. I have done it with two chicken, and that took about 45 minutes. So just keep checking. Keep your pesto aside. You can always brush it as you're cooking it to keep it nice and moist. All right. I hope this gave you some ideas for summer meals. We will try and get the recipes posted. Otherwise, you can have a look at my website. It'll have them on there as well. You are listening to the Essen Freshen Show on Chai FM 101.9. I am Adrian Bogarty, and I'm saying goodbye and enjoy the heat.